The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Good morning, Dan, and how are you today, sir?
I'm very good. Yourself?
Yeah, I'm very well, very well. Quite excited to be interviewing you this morning. Euformix is a company I know a little bit about. But for those listening who never heard of you or not sure, talk us through what you do.
Sure. Euformix is a pharmaceutical development company. Since our inception, we've become specialized in a field of technology called co-crystal technology. And we use that technology to develop new pharmaceutical products that are based on known drugs. We have two lead programs, one in the area of oncology supportive care, and the other entering the emerging field of fibrosis. We use our technology to differentiate those known drugs, and we enable them towards their intended new uses as we envisage them.
Okay, co-crystal. I have to say, that's not a word I'm familiar with. So for the layman's like myself out there, can you just explain that in sort of simpler terms?
Effectively, what we're doing is we're taking a drug substance and we're recrystallizing it with a second substance. That second substance is typically an inert substance that's always already used in pharmaceutical products. By doing that, by recrystallizing these two substances together and resulting in a new two-component substance, we retain the sort of interesting bit, the sort of pharmacological activity of the drug molecule that we're really interested in. Yet we impart some really new properties into the substance itself, which means that it's able to do things that the previous drug substance wasn't. Because we're only using known drugs, and because we're recrystallizing those with inner second substances, we haven't chemically changed the drug at all, which means that we're able to make certain advancements in terms of safety and existing data that basically allow us to get into patients much more quickly and give us a very different sort of risk profile as you would typically associate with a traditional biotech investment.
So are you just taking two known drugs and just joining them together? Is that oversimplifying?
It's not two known drugs. It's complicating things a little bit, only in that we're just staying with one drug and we're crystallizing that with an inner second, something that doesn't have any pharmacological activity. Right. Something that you would typically term an excipient is the word that the pharmaceutical industry usually uses. That would be an ingredient that typically goes into any sort of formulated product. So it's typically a substance that anyone in the pharma industry is completely au fait with. Therefore, we co-crystallize a drug and this second entity together, yeah, to give a new multi-component substance that has very different properties. And believe it or not, it's not the same as simply mixing one part drug and one part substance together. Actually, by crystallizing these two molecules together at a molecular level, we end up with a substance with the retained properties of the drug substance, which is really interesting. Mm-hmm. But the two component substance itself gives us new properties that we can work with to, say, deliver the drug in ways which weren't previously possible.
So therefore, do you get around doing the sort of usual trials or...
What we do is, because we're able to utilize an existing safety data package that sits with regulators, it just means that we can get very quickly into patients. We don't need to do that initial safety work. Also, what it changes is the risk profile for the development of the product itself. As you will know, I think that it's fair to say that the pharma industry is, or the biotech sector as well, is typically relatively high risk compared to other investments. And that one of those risks, as we know in pharmaceutical biotech development, is risk of safety failure. Well, that's, say, a problem that we just simply don't have. Right. We already know that risk is discharged. Mm-hmm. Also, because of the precedent of use of that drug in humans, we know a lot more about what that drug will do in a human. Therefore, decisions that we're making about how we would like to develop them for new uses, we're taking those from a much more informed position, which mitigates, you know, other risks in development as well. I think it's also worth noting that when we do this, when we're successful in creating these new substances, these new two-component co-crystal drug substances. We also generate new substance of matter patents. And we have currently a family of six granted patents, of which those patents are granting in various geographies all around the world continuously.
Great stuff. Talk me through yourself then, Dan. I mean, what's your background? You sound as if you know what he's talking about, certainly.
Well, yeah, I've got a PhD in chemistry. I pretty much, having completed that PhD, realized I wasn't probably going to win any Nobel Prizes for science. So I quickly moved out of the lab and into more commercial roles, business development and sales roles. That's more my background before myself and colleagues co-founded Nuformix some years back.
Okay, and how long's the business been going?
The business has been going since 2009.
Mm-hmm.
We spent that time really sort of incubating the underlying science that was an emerging science at the time. I think it's fair to say that we were early adopters of that science at the time. At that point, ideas around sort of patentability and regulatory acceptance of the technology were not really in place. And as that whole picture has emerged, we found ourselves to be sort of the right side of that. The patent landscape and the regulatory landscape has absolutely played out in our favor. And we've taken the step to get on board with the technology, secure patents, understand the science from a pretty unique view. And that's enabled us now to make some good headway on the commercial side. Now that we truly understand our science and how to use it to generate, you know, very interesting and unique high-value pharma products.
Great stuff. I suppose one of the reasons we're calling you today, though, is that you had some pretty positive news. I mean, certainly the market reacted very positively on Friday. Can you talk us through that?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, it's... we're really excited to announce our first major licensing deal for our program, NXP-001. This is a program going into oncology supportive care. We licensed that asset, Chinese marketing rights of that asset, to New Summit Biopharma based in Shanghai. This total deal value, upfront figures of 2.5 million payable plus a 10% royalty stream. New Summit Bio is very interesting. It's a company that we've been working with for 2 or 3 years now. What made them particularly appealing to us was that a couple of years ago they were acquired by Yatai Pharma, which is a Chinese pharmaceutical company with a market cap of about $1 billion. These guys have a very sort of proactive approach to developing new products in China, which made them very attractive as a partner. We've so far licensed at an earlier stage three assets to them and received revenues for those assets and have successfully transferred our technology into China, meaning that I think, you know, they're a known quantity to us, we're a known quantity to them, meaning that, you know, we're very happy about this relationship and working with New Summit to commercialize this particular program in China.
Well, it seems very much like this is a start of the news flow. What are you looking forward to most of all for next year then, 2018?
Yeah, for next year, I think what we can look forward to is, as I said, we've simply licensed Chinese marketing rights at this stage. We'll be looking to hopefully license rest of world rights to other companies. We've also got our second program, which is perhaps the most sort of transformational for Nuformix in the field of fibrosis. We're expecting to announce some very interesting data on that early in the new year. With our number two program looking to enter clinical development towards the end of 2018.
Great stuff. So as we say to everybody who comes on the podcast, I think it's changed a little bit for you recently. So give me three reasons why one of our listeners would want to put Nuformix onto their Vox Markets watch list.
That's a good question. I think, when we came onto the market, there's all kinds of things I could have said. I'd like to think that actions speak louder than words. Therefore, I think the first reason that I would give is the validation that the recent deal that we've announced gives us. I think it's validation in terms of both our technology, but it's also validation of the commercial potential of our assets and of the team to complete, transformational licensing deals. Secondly, coming back to the team, obviously your listeners are aware of the management team. I think we put out another announcement last week talking about the team of advisors that we've just brought in. I mean, those are simply sort of world-class individuals, yeah, all in their own right. We're very proud to have those guys associated. And then lastly, I'll just talk about our funding position. The funding that we've raised as a result of the placing, and now the non-dilutive funding that we've taken in as a result of completing this transaction, means that we're in excellent shape to deliver multiple programs, all with commercial optionality, and puts us in a really strong position to deliver shareholder value.
That sounds like it's going to be an exciting year next year for your shareholders and yourselves.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. I'm absolutely excited about the prospects for 2018.
That's fantastic.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.